Frank Pink Crosby?
That's right, Peter. And if you kids give you any lift, you can beat them with a sack of sweet Valencia oranges.
Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of At Your End Step. We're glad to be back. I'm joined with Jordan.
Hey, guys, what's up?
And Mike.
Hi.
So we're back. I want to say that we all had the lovely Thanksgivings, and I hope you guys had the lovely Thanksgivings / Hanukkah. We're glad to be back to discuss what's going on.
Hashtag Thanksgivica.
Hashtag Thanksgivica.
Hashtag whatever the hell Quorum represents.
That's not till the end of this month. So we definitely want to hopefully push through, get out a couple episodes. So we hit 25 before the new year, and we'll definitely make that most certainly. I think we're going to take off a week during the week of Christmas, but that's about it. So there was a lot of stuff that happened, which was kind of weird for us to take off a week, and then all the standard tournament happens. But
yeah, 3 weeks of like nothing to talk about,
and then like, oh, we're going to take a week off, no big deal, and then they're like, oh, there's like three standard tournaments to talk about. So we definitely have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the two standard GPs that happened, which were GP Albuquerque and Vienna. Now, funny thing about GP Vienna, it was a GP adults only.
Like the joke with Shahar Shinhar couldn't play.
Which was pretty funny. We also wanted to touch on GP Toronto as well. There was a lot of controversy with how the tournament was run. There's also a local event up the streets of Ohio that me and Jordan went to that we'd like to talk about. We also have the return of a question of the week. Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. It's kind of a gamble, but we have it back this week. And then we'll kind of finish out with our typical wrap-up. And so let's go ahead and get started. Now, first and foremost, did we want to talk about any of the Star City game stuff? I know that something that we talked a lot about with the Star City games, with the last standard tournament they did, was Matt Costa's winning Jund list. Which was something that was not really on the books before, and then just suddenly kind of showed up. Now, I know that we all discussed it. Now, Mike, I know you don't necessarily think very highly of it. You think it's kind of a one-off, you know, flash in the pan sort of deck.
I don't know about flash in the pan. I mean, people play it because it's junk, but I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, a lot of people have been commenting on how the you got the awkward interaction with Sylvan Carrier did in Anger of the Gods.
Yeah, that
is an awkward interaction. Now, something I did watch is I did watch the legit MTG the Scotty Mac stream.
That's what he's streaming tonight. Was Costa.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he has Costa on
there as
well.
Costa, right.
So I'll have to revisit that after that gets archived. But something he was saying, he said that he knows that that is an awkward interaction, but it does force aggro players to overcommit to the board to try to
get through
them,
the carries in the first
and they kind of blow them out, which is kind of an interesting interaction. I don't think it necessarily redeems it. And, you know, something to even note is that we haven't really seen this sort of list, you know, top eight any big tournaments. Now, the only big tournaments that we've really had have been GPs,
right,
which are definitely a different metagame. You have a different class of player that does show up to GPs and you know, that do perform typically very well due to buys and things like that. So that could be a reason why. I think it's going to be more of a Star City Game Circuit deck than anything, but that's fine. I mean, it's still an interesting deck, and it's good to see something different show up at the very least.
The deck, I mean, if you're comparing to, like, last season's Jund, you get some awesome tools like Thoughtseize, and Read the Bones is actually, I think, really sweet in that shell as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But you're running a mana, you know, a mana base that wants to hit, you know, two black for Heroes Downfall, two red for Anger of the Gods. Oh, and make sure you have green too, so you guys are, Airbrump to care, whatever else. And the other problem with the deck really is that it just doesn't. The threats are solid threats. It plays some solid creatures. It does, but they are nowhere near as daunting, I think, as the threats that you had last season. I mean, Supreme Verdict matches up much better against, you know, Reaper of the Wilds, even with a Scry, than it did against the Thragdusk. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're, when you stick a Huntmaster and you can just ride that threat, I don't think you can say the same even about a Stormbreath Dragon, which, I mean, I love Stormbreath Dragon. It's a great card, but it just doesn't hit as hard. You're counting on things like Rakdos Return to really, you know, seal games for you against the control decks, but the deck is pretty weak to Supreme Verdict, and minus, you know, again, Read the Bones, which is sweet, but minus that, it's still a deck that floods out a lot.
Yeah.
I think it would be better, maybe, you know, we'll see what the next set brings, but definitely it could really use the green black scry land. Which probably helped that deck a ton.
I did get to play that against that deck this weekend at the Invitational for my win in the top eight. I managed to lose.
Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
No, Monster Storm Breath Dragon is actually really good if you can't do anything to stop it.
That's fair.
So, like, that deck, he did run into the interesting position where game one I had Elspeth, like, nine guys out on the field, and he had two Sylvan Chariots, and he was like, oh, I can grab the guys, I guess. And, you know, that kind of set him back a little bit. And
so he didn't give you Elspeth, so that's a 3-for-1?
yeah, like...
Not a 3-for-none?
Right. A 3-for-0, yeah. So, that was kind of an interesting problem he ran into. And he even told me, he goes, Esper is just disaster if you draw fine. And I draw bad.
It's just like you've done last format. You're playing a lot of removal that, you know, against the control deck, you could draw, like, all your Sylvan Caryatids and, like, Reaper of the Wilds, and you just lose to Wrath effects. You know what I mean? Against the aggro decks, you could draw all your, you know, your Thought Seizes and Read the Bones and be like, well...
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's the same thing that old Jen had, where you just have to draw the right half of your deck. And if you do, you're probably going to win. But if you don't, well, it's not going
to
turn out very
but
well.
But you're doing this without things like Liliana of the Veil to curb the the control matchup, or even Garrick Primal Hunter to let you draw a bunch of cards.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have access to any of those Planeswalkers. I guess comparing it to last format is probably unfair.
Yeah, it's
unfair. I think it's
different. But I think overall the deck is weaker and has a much worse mana base with, you know, I mean, just comparing Carry to the Farseek, like, you would obviously rather have the Farseek anyways.
No, so. I guess I want to comment on the position of the deck in this particular event. Mono Blue and Mono Red and Red Green Devotion were rampant this weekend at Carl's for the Elite IQ, and Anger of the Gods over Little Museum Mortars are really, really good against those cards. Mm-hmm. So, like, and he even said, he goes, if I don't play Esper, I have a good time.
That's
because,
right.
I mean, against Mono Blue, like, LOL, right? Like, so, I guess he was a good deck for the meta. And he played it well, and he lost in top 8, unfortunately, but good guy, good player.
You still have that position where, like, even against Mono Blue, you still have to, I mean, you can't kill Masterways with Abrupt Decay or Mizzium Mortars. So, you know what I mean? Like, you get in those awkward situations where you can't just lose.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly at that.
You need Putrefies or a Doomblade, too.
Heroes Downfall is what you, you know.
This is what they were on, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting deck. It's about probably the most interesting thing that really came out of that GP. It came out of the Star City Games Standard Tournament, so. I just want to bring it up just because it's a well-known
game. No, I mean, it's definitely seeing play, and people like to play Jund, so.
Yeah, people like that play. But,
I don't know, I keep going back to the last one where, like, all these decks are weaker in general.
Yeah.
You know, but
there's less cards in the pool.
Well, Theros is a step down in power level as well.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to a format full of creatures that were straight up just, you know, Thrag, Tusk, and Hunt Masters, like, oh, we're an army by ourselves, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just so you know. I don't know. I think, you know, the good draws are going to feel incredible, you know, and the bad draws are gonna make you want to flip your table. Oh, look, my third carry did, and I got 7 lands to play, and oh, good, all right. Oh, look, I'll flop easy again. Oh, but you already have threats on the table. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's true of a lot of decks.
Most certainly. So we'll go ahead and we'll kind of dive into the two standard GPs that happened while in our absence. So we first had GP Albuquerque, which was actually a pretty eventful win for the winner. It was Owen Turtenwald. He ran it back, guys.
First American to win 2 GPs in a row.
That's pretty special.
And that's his second GP win, right? So his first win of the pair was his first ever GP win.
Yeah, that has to be a second GP win because he ran it back.
Oh. This is times I wish we edited the podcast.
We do edit the podcast.
We're not going to add that out.
I think that stays in. It's beautiful.
Oh, let's vote. I vote for saying.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome. He was playing Mono Black Devotion. He had a pretty interesting list. He didn't have any whips in his 60. I don't even know if he had any whips in the 75. Let me pull it up here.
I have it right here.
So, but he had 4 pack rats. No whips. 4 pack rats. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I know a lot of players that were in that tournament were playing Mono Black. Paul Rizzo made his most recent, you know, top 8 past the Pro Tour that he top 8ed in. Interesting thing with that is he played, what, Sperling in the last round of Swiss?
Yes.
Yeah, so he played Matt Sperling, one of his good friends, last round of Swiss, and Sperling conceded to him, correct?
Conceded to him game 3... essentially while moving in for lethal.
Right.
Well, it didn't concede, they drew.
They drew. Okay.
He pulled his phone out at the future trash table, and the judge was like, he's like, hey, can I do this? And the judge was like, yeah, just do it off camera, because you're not actually allowed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up the standings, and they decided to draw, knowing that at least one of them would get in the top 8, and there's a slim chance that both could make top 8.
Right.
Bryce ends up getting in, Sperling's out.
But at 9th, so still respectable.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was going to do well either way. But
yeah.
Definitely not top 8.
So, anything else really remarkable from GPography? A lot of people said this is one of the most well-run tournaments that they've attended in a while, which was very awesome to see. So, glad to see that we still have some good TOs.
When you're paying your judges in that good crystal blue,
yeah. Heisenberg funding the tournament, so things turned out all right.
I will say, while Mono Black sort of disappeared in Vienna, you have a European GP, so that whole metagame could be different. But I know Mono Black is often popular around here. There was an article today on Star City. It was today, right? Or was it yesterday? It was today. By Z, and I don't know. I've never actually heard that guy's name pronounced.
Mauschwitz?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm not going to butcher it because I'd feel like a jerk. But essentially telling you that you were playing Pack Rat wrong. And if you want to play it like Turtenwald and like Reitzel, then you need to make more Packrat tokens. So it's actually the entire article is like, yeah, you should probably just make a Packrat token here. Yeah, you should probably just make a Packrat token here. No, it'll play as well. You should probably make a Packrat token here. So
I mean, that's the idea of that card. It just takes over the game. Like, if you make a token, you should probably make a token all
right.
the time.
It's a pretty interesting article, you know, just in the sheer fact that that's the main point of it, but like, it's one of those things where it's like your inner player wants to be like, "Well, yeah, but I should probably use this here." No, should probably just make a pack
right. Right. I mean, if you're playing at that point in time, you're playing a creature game. So if you could just pay 3 mana to put another creature and buff all your creatures at the same time, seems like a pretty good. I don't know if there's many better spells out there. So yeah.
So on turn 2, you make a 2/2, or you make a 1/1. On turn 3, you make a 3/3.
No. There you go.
Yeah, no, but like, it's better than just playing a land and holding up Heroes Downfall.
Yeah.
Like, it's just go all the way. Like, I like this article.
And definitely check that out on Star City. It's on the premium side, I assume.
It is on the premium side.
So, see if you can find someone that can copy for you, say the thing. No, just kidding. Don't do that.
Which
we do not advocate stealing from Star City Games.
No, not at all.
I just would like to apologize to Star City Games for all the theft that has occurred on from their site. But like, that's actually an interesting question. Is Star City Games premium? I've been reading a lot of discussion online, and it's always split. And I think it's mostly just split between people that can afford it and people that can't. But like, is Star City premium worth it for the average grinder spike?
Would you pay for a Magic magazine?
Absolutely.
Then yes.
Right. But no, I know it's a simple question to us because we all pay for it. But
to be fair, I haven't paid for it in probably a year and a half.
Well, you just get the free one. Right? No. Like, for my birthday last year, I bought the year, and then, like, just over the course.
Happy birthday to me.
Well, my mom bought me a bag, and I returned the bag to the store. I got the $50 and put the bag. Sorry, mom. But,
ladies, he's still single.
I'm a planeswalker. But, you read online, somebody will post, you know, on Reddit once a week, like, is Perfectly Premium or the free side's great? And people are like, no, it's terrible. Why would you spend money on that? And people are like, no, this is the best Magic content on the internet. And so I was just curious.
I don't think it's all good, and their video content I don't think is actually as good as they seem to think it is. But, I mean, if there was, you know, Star City Games, the bi-weekly magazine, I'd probably be paying, you know, $5 for that. And if it's bi-weekly, then at the end of a month, I'd be paying $10 for it. I mean, I think the difference is, like, if it was a magazine, people would be like, yeah, this is no problem. But because it's the internet, people don't have something in hand. They tend to be like, oh, this is... But in all reality, I mean, I pay for ESPN Insider, which is how you access the other half of their website. And I get free copies of the ESPN magazine through that as well.
Yeah.
Because I pay to read people like Buster Olney, which, if you don't follow sports, baseball beat writer... Yeah, you know,
right.
But, you know, for me, I'm paying, you know, that money because, again, that's like a magazine subscription to me.
No, sure. I mean, like, the same thing happened in, like, the StarCraft scene when people were like, we have to pay to watch this tournament, $10 for a weekend of events. People were like, that's terrible. But I would pay to go to a football game. You know what I mean? Like, so I pay to have, all the NFL.
Now, be careful. You're going to get Star City, you know, ideas here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
don't follow MLG and Golf TV. But, no, I just kind of curious as to what you guys thought about that. Like, I pay for it. I know you guys do, or have in the past. And it's, I mean, their video content is poor. Channel Firewall does excellent video content. I think Star City, they think, like, Reed Duke not knowing how to operate his recording program is good for some reason. He's like, oh, is this turned off? Oh, it was muted. Like, oh, God, Reed. Like, you put this up on the internet. But
I mean, not all of it's obviously going to be good. I mean, that's... So
Reed Duke.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, most of, like, a lot of things that we pay for, sometimes you just get, like, you know, shitty things. Things you pay for, you get less the quality than what you think you deserve. But
is that because Star City is produced in China? Is that
right? I mean,
well, think about it. Like, think about how much content you get from Star City for the $50 for the year. Like, that's it. You get a ton of articles, you get a ton of videos. Some of it's gonna suck. Like, just because.
I think it was that was it. Drew Levine this week was like said like. There's no tournaments I want to talk about. Trudeau Nemesis has been done to death. Twitter, what should I write about? It's like, well, that's going to be a gripping article on the other side.
Well, did you see Chaz Andre's article this week?
I liked his article. It was hilarious, actually.
He was just like, I know more than you. It was complete satire. He was just like, you should always have an opinion. Even if you're wrong and you're completely uninformed, make an opinion. Make it loud.
Yeah, it was definitely something that that was entertaining to read. It was definitely an entertaining article, is how I would describe it.
Open-mindedness is a sign of weakness, and weakness is the worst. You're smarter than everyone else, right? Never forget that. Never let your friends and coworkers forget it either.
You want to be a shark, because sharks don't have necks, so they can't look back.
Anyway, yeah, that was curious on the Star City
preview. Yeah, now one last thing is something that's kind of interesting and that I want to bring up is with the recent changes they made to the app. It might have lessened the impact that Premium actually had, because how it used to work previously is that you got Premium and you got special access inside the app because you were a Premium subscriber. But now they kind of scaled that back and you don't necessarily have that same access, which I think is kind of interesting. So you still have access to the Premium articles on the website and on the app, but all the app functionality is pretty much unlocked from the beginning. So I thought it was kind of interesting. It kind of lessened your subscription a little bit if you had one. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I mean, their app has sucked consistently since it existed and crashes all the time, and I deleted it a long time ago. So,
I can't see deck lists that are linked in the app, like, on the Premium articles.
Now,
it's terrible.
To be fair, I've never really had any issues on the app. I use an iPhone 5S at this moment in time.
Do you look up prices or anything?
Yeah. Works just
fine. Do you have an Android mic, or do you have an iPhone?
You can actually see my iPhone. I got the tape.
When did you remove the app from your phone?
Probably 4 or 5 months ago.
Have you tried it out since they updated it most recently?
I have no desire to.
Oh, well, fair enough. If you do suddenly have a reason to, it's actually a lot better.
I want a trade balancer from them, where I can put the cards that I'm giving and the cards that I'm getting and figure out how much I'm owed or whatever. I want something like that from them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there definitely are apps that do that around there, but they have room for improvement in a lot of ways, but I still enjoy my Premium subscription 100%.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to re-up in April, now March, because I found 2 free months in my wallet.
Oh, man.
That was awesome.
So, GPVM.
Yes, yeah, GP Adults Only. Is
sorry, Shahar.
Poor Shahar. But... Play of the year, right? Right, player. Yeah, play of the year. Can't play.
Well, Jim.
I thought he was old enough now.
No, he.
He's 19 today.
Yeah, that was like 19.
Oh, okay.
That was a joke.
That was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. LSV was like, man, Shahar Shinar is gonna be really sad to fly to Vienna to find out he can't play.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty awful that there's a bunch of like people in Germany who are like, well. Like, literally, oh, can't play in the GP because I'm not 18. Let's go get drunk.
So, definitely another standard GP. European metagame. So, how Mike said, probably a little bit different than the U.S. Metagame that we have here. Mono Blue takes it down. It was a Polish pilot. You want to give a shout out the name?
Polish pilot. I'm sorry, I was laughing at Polish pilot. Hold on here. Actually, what was his name? On air.
A Polish pirate.
Was it?
Pirate? No, pirate.
Was it the Marcin guy? On air. Yes, yeah. Marcin Stasiwa? I'm sorry.
We're sorry. Yeah.
A Polish pilot petrified by.
Wait, he's Polish? But yeah. His name is Stasiwa Wolaziski. Never mind. It was a bad joke. Okay. All right. Anyways.
Hi, Intercept's looking for a new third co-host. You need to be good at magic.
It's not me this time.
The guy who's eating while we're casting. Well, eating after you've had dinner and dessert. And he's like, hey, there's food on this table.
It's fruit, so it's kind of fine.
He's just getting his vitamin C on. It's no big deal.
So I guess I have to take this moment to sort of eat a little crow here. Back after the Pro Tour, I definitely said that Mono Blue was a deck that could be hated out, and... It has not been hated out. It continues to... I mean, Sam Black, you know, could be, you know, could take any deck that I don't think is good in the metagame and probably just like spin, you know, spin Magic. He's like Rumblestone's skin in the back. He's just like turning it to gold. Magic players, give me your first board. All right. But like honestly, this mono blue deck has really stuck around. You know, I think it was Dave who was kind of joking around about like the deck's just really boring. There's not even innovation with it. It's like I chose to play. You know, I chose to. What did he say? Like, well, I chose to play two Rapid Hybridization. While most people would choose to play one. And one more Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah. Like,
ooh. Yeah. But, I mean, the deck's been pretty solid. I do think it's interesting that, I know local events, we haven't seen it as much, or if it has, like, it hasn't been in this force. And I was throwing out the idea that this, you know, that and even the Mono Black deck is somewhat due to the fact that in these GPs, all these pros have, you know, three buys.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of players end up having these three buys, and a lot of the aggro decks, that, like sort of the mono black decks, or the decks that might do well against this deck, sort of feast on each other early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up playing mirror matches, and what you have is like Sam Black, who can just like take a mirror match and just like, you know, crush it. Or you have even, you know, Jeremy Dezani,
right,
who, you know, won you know, Pro Tour with, you know, with this list as well. Interesting fact, I've said this before, Jeremy Dezani, not using the same Island artwork.
Correct. So, Brian Kibler might have tweeted that Jeremy Dezani can win a Pro Tour, but with that Pro Tour money cannot buy matching art islands. And before the podcast, Mike was brought this up, and he said that in a, you know, Thoughtseize metagame, this is not a good thing, because your opponents will be able to identify what islands you have in your hand. A good opponent will write art descriptions down.
Well, you wouldn't have to write it then. I mean, you'll be like, oh, that is not the same island
that I just saw.
Right, correct. So, you know, that's why people have matching, you know, matching land art, so you cannot identify.
Well, also because we're pretentious, you know, demons.
That's true, but we have favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think the narrow margin there is very small, especially when you can just play correct. Like, one of our friends, Brian Keller, for example, every card that his opponent knows, he flips upside down in his hand. So, I was sort of doing this, opponent thought sees, target me, lay my hand out, and then I flip him towards him. And I essentially just pick him up like that and leave him face upside down in my hand. So I play the islands the first. And I mean, my opponent can probably see me flip it through my hand, but they've seen that card anyway. I'm not giving any more information.
Right.
So there's ways to play around that and not be dumb.
He's obviously a fine player. I mean, he has good results and results. But it was, I mean, I think
it's funny jabbering.
But in all seriousness, I mean, I talked about this before. You know, it was one of the PTQs over the summer where I got all heartbroken by some ridiculous draws. But it was playing the Naya Mirror, you know, with full Thundermaw Hellkites. And my opponent, I knew, had a Thundermaw Hellkite. And I had one as well. And I knew he had at least one in his hand because he had shown me it off of a Domery activation. So the next turn, he draws for turn, and then plays a Thundermaw Hellkite, but it was altered. Like, he had an altered Thundermaw Hellkite, mm-hmm. and that's not the one he showed me off of the Domry Raid. So my entire line of play now changes, because instead of him only having one Thundermaw Hellkite, I know for a fact he has two, because he showed me the marked one. Which, I mean, let's be honest, you're sitting in a PTQ where you shouldn't be playing those kind of cards anyways, because again, to me, that I know information that he did not mean to give me. And even afterwards, right. He's like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. It's like, well, you probably shouldn't have that Thunderbolt Hellkite in your deck if you're not trying to tip people off in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Obviously, you know, Dezani's a good enough player that, you know, he's probably going to play the island that you showed him and everything else. But I don't see why you would give yourself that option.
Oh, sure. Especially in a deck like that. Like an Esper where you're playing five islands, it's not as big of a deal where you're playing 25 islands. You know, like it's...
I mean, Jeremy Dezani is French, yes?
Yeah.
So maybe he just, like, is really passionate about, like, the different ones. Like, oh, in certain islands, they remind me of... No?
No, you're
just... I'm trying to insult all of Europe today, just so you know.
I still would like to apologize to half the world.
Half the what?
I was going to say country.
Half the country.
I don't mean another club of time.
Just the arty pretentious half of France. That's who we're talking.
The romantics. We're really just romantics. I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah,
French didn't do a whole lot for my field of study, so.
Anyway, moving on. So those are the two standard GPs. What do you guys think about these devotion decks that are still sticking around?
Well,
so
I mean,
so happy that
Wizards, people's asses.
Wizards are supposed to be smiling because they really pushed. For, you know, for mono to sort of be a thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, they'll... I feel like you hear after each form... Like, you heard after Callblade, like, well, how did you let, like, Stoneforge Mystic with this happen? Well, the Future League did not, you know, we had this kind of, pegged this kind of deck, we didn't get there. But it does seem like in this case they pegged these decks. You know, they were like, you know, we think we want devotion to be a thing. We want you to intuitively see how the mana bases should work, and it seems like it's getting there. You still, again, you have your Costas who are like, I don't care how bad the mana is, I'm playing my Jund. You know, I'm gonna play from Jund, and I don't care what else is going on. And, okay,
guys, he's not from Jund. If you're really from Jund, you sound like this. Shard of Jund.
And for all of you wearing headphones like poor Morgan here who's listening to the feedback on this, you just died.
As, we're super sorry about that.
Those are my mighty powers as a Planeswalker.
Ideally, I'm going to shriek. I'm going to identify where Jordan is shrieking.
You email listeners about your hand step. What you doing this weekend?
Why don't you come on over to Jund?
Yeah. Shard's pretty lonely this time of year. Actually, I'm hanging out at Esper this weekend. So you should...
Oh man. Anyways, you know,
with the Columbus event,
you know, it's sort of interesting to see how each color sort of plays. I mean, you still have your Esper control and everything else, but it just feels like you had white, you know, even the smoke Giviana, you had white weenie, you had you know, red devotion, you had blue devotion. You didn't have mono black this time, but you just, I don't know. I feel like it's really interesting because each, even these devotion decks. Like, the decks themselves are playing out such a different way. I don't know. I feel like it's fun. I feel like it's a pretty open format. I know a lot of people have started to complain because, you know, Mono Blue's doing so well. Well, yeah, a deck where I, you know, lots of decks are put into, you know, this big cave, okay? And every now and then, one deck rises.
Mm-hmm.
This is... Man, my references are just falling flat today, huh?
Sorry.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mono Blue's making the climb, trying to get out of the... It's a Batman reference, okay? Bane,
okay?
He comes out of a cave,
right?
All right.
Oh, so you're saying Mono Blue wasn't adopted by darkness. He was born
in it. He was born in it, okay? Okay? No, I have to be better.
I'm an Astro Wages. How's that?
No?
Did you like that?
I did like
oh
that.
My god, you're never funny on the show.
Alright.
No, like, you know, I've never got to play against Mono Blue a whole lot until this weekend, and that deck is really fun to play against. My opponent...
Oh, we're going for it, by the way, just so you know.
You're going what?
Oh, no!
I don't know what's happening. My opponent got to cast three Jesus Architects with thought on the same turn. Like, he's like, Jesus Architect of Thought, neg 2, because he had Nicholas for like a million. Jesus Architect of Thought, neg 2, where he flipped over Jace Business. So, like, he's going to get Jace in business. So he's like, okay, like, Jace, neg 2, where he flips over Jace Business. And I was like, whatever, is Jace in the other thing? Jace Business was the next flip. I was like, what in the world? And he was just like, that's pretty good. And I was like, I'm not winning this game.
They do have this.
Yo, so it went to GP Vienna, it won Carl's event. I mean, Mono Blue. Mono Blue rises.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of things in life I can quit. I can't quit.
You can't quit me?
No. I can't quit you!
I mean, there's some... Anyways, there's some, you know, interesting decks. There's some interesting cards. I definitely think... you know, red isn't going away, but I do, you know, from my own standpoint, where I've been a big Boros player for this, I've seen a lot of the decks who are starting to adopt, you know, Chain to the Rocks. One of the breakout cards even says from the GP, like, top five is Last Breath, which, if you'll remember, I was pushing a while ago. Not that I'm trying to, like, you know, rushing, you know, shoulders off or anything, but I will say Last Breath, you know, definitely is one of those, you know, it kills Pack Rats, you know, and it kills, you know, Master Waves, and it's a big deal. I mean, I think I'll still stand by what I said after the Pro Tour, that Mono Blue is definitely beatable. They're going to have hands like you're like, right. Well, okay, I can't beat this, you know what I mean? But
16 mana, man. 16 mana.
Hey, you're talking to the guy who had FNM this week, as I said, was able to top target Stormbreath Dragon, cast it, monstrous it, activate two Unit Vaults, and attack for lethal.
It's pretty good.
Think about the mana involved in here to do this.
Yeah.
But
well, Last Breath's insane. It's Night Vale Spectre, too.
Yeah, kill Night Vale Spectre. I mean, it's a...
Beautiful, everything, yeah.
It's pretty good. So, I think this weekend, you know, we have a Star City Classic.
Yeah.
I'll be looking to probably find another slot on the board for another Last Breath.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we were talking about... Morgan and I were talking about the burn matchups becoming a real thing as well. And Last Breath's kind of techie, because you can kill Chandra's Phoenixes, but you can also you know, sort of, you know, like, oh, you're going to borrow Charmy? Sweet. I'll just take out my young Pyromancer token with Last Breath then.
Right.
And I get your... Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, like, Last Breath was really overpowerful for me this weekend. I also got to play Farika's Gear out of the sideboard.
Hey, I mean, that card's sweet as well. I mean, also kills Master Waves. And
kills Master Waves. I killed a Master Waves and two Mutavolts with that this weekend.
Oh, man, you get to kill Mutavolt with that. You feel pretty good.
This is really sweet. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, he went turn one Mutavolt, turn two Island. I went turn one Dimple to see, turn two Shock Myself Mutavolt. Gives you Mutavolt. It was wonderful.
Now, did you like have to adapt your mana base at all to be able to play the cures out of the board?
I played it as normal. Some lists are playing as with the one swamp.
Okay.
I when the situation that befall me to get the Mutavolt with previous cure, I had no problem going Temple of Deceit shock myself.
And yeah, you had a bad opponent. You shocked yourself and your opponent's like, well, you shocked yourself with open mana.
Well,
let me just activate my Mutavolt.
I don't know what he was expecting. I think maybe just a syncopate, because you did see a syncopate in game fair. One.
But, like, even if you just... okay, well, did you have white mana at that point?
I did not.
Okay, well, so maybe he was thinking you didn't have the Azorius Charm. Maybe you get Doomblade in there. Like, that's just not okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
If your opponent has open mana, don't activate your Mutavolt in turn two. I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah, right? Like,
you actually can just lose games right there, and probably will just lose games.
You're just going to get Azorius Charm on top.
I mean, that just puts you so far behind.
Right.
You know, before that thing, before you can do anything, you'll be on land drop four, and you know, maybe have a Jason play. And he's like, well, guess I'm hitting land drop three here.
Yeah. Oh, I did Ultimate Jace, Architect of Thought, against the white-red weenie list. That wasn't fun. I was like, I guess I'll get a Fiend Slayer Paladin. I got Elspeth too, but like, you're still just like,
oh. Oh man. You get Elspeth and you get a Johnny, and you start, make three guys and put a counter on it.
Now, I didn't ask you this, but did they have Spear?
Did not.
God, you get the Elspeth and the Spear?
Now, yeah. That would have been the option right there.
Game two, I ultimated Jace the turn after he played Gideon from the board. So, like, that would have been sweet, but, like, so I'm going through the deck, and he goes, I don't have another one. I was like, ah, shit. I was actually just looking for another one, and he just said it, and I was like, ah, oh, goddamn, I'll get another Fiend Slayer Paladin, whatever.
I don't play two.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we kind of want to transition to talking about Carl's event.
Sure.
So there was an event at Empire Games. That's where me and Jordan went this weekend. It was a lot of fun. Both the car ride up there and the car ride back and the actual tournament. Mike stopped in for a little bit. He didn't play the tournament, but he's actually from around that area, so he just stopped in, said hello, watched me punt a few games. No big deal.
I was Morgan's Mickey.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And playing
what are you doing, scum? You're better than this, Morgie.
I'm calling you Morgie from now on.
Join the club.
Welcome to Etcher End Stuff featuring Morgie! Morgie, Jordy, and Mikey! Yeah.
It's not funny when it's you, is it, Jack?
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
No, with Carl's event.
A drink.
If you've ever been to Empire Cards in Streetsboro, I really encourage you to check out empirecards.com. They have a great selection of Magic singles. But no, the event was really well ran.
It was very well.
I hate you.
In all honesty, but I don't think we've ever had a really terrible event at Carl's at all.
I do wish he would change his seating a little bit.
Yes,
That is the only uncomfortable thing. But I mean, that's definitely forgivable. At least he has plentiful seating.
That is fair.
That was the one criticism. Greg Price, local guy, you know, very good Legacy player, he's never been there before, and he goes, "This store is great, except." The standings are posted in the one place that you use to get to your seat. And I'm like, that's the criticism of every Magic tournament. Why isn't there nine more copies of seats all around?
Well, but they even said, like, they have the window outside. Yeah, like, the window up against the front. They're like, we won't be posting the pairings the rest of the day there. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why?
somebody goes, well, it's paper. I was like, so buy one more ream of paper for $9 and you're fine.
I mean, maybe the condensation, you know? You know, wet. We don't want our paper getting wet.
Yeah. We have to throw it away, our hands get gross.
By the way, both Jordan and I had a good time. Jordan did finish top 32. He was 18th. He did have a winning in that he already talked about. So it's all right. Still a very, very good showing.
It was great. Apparently, when you tell yourself you're terrible and you threaten to quit, like, you just like suck it up and you like play better. I don't know what it was.
Your deck's like, I'll make sure you just missed doing Act 1. <Yeah. laughs> Just so you still feel like you need to compete, but you actually sucked.
Yeah. You want to make top 8? You'll get close.
Well, that's all right. At least you didn't finish 33rd and right out of prizes.
Yeah, that's kind of like
someone here.
You handled my bad attitude well, because I'm pissed about making like top 32. And Morgan's like, how would you feel to be 33rd?
Probably a lot like Riley Curran.
Probably. No, well, Riley was actually there. He did attend the tournament, and I asked, and yeah, I was giving him some jeers about that as well. So I joined the 33rd club today. But
33rd club. And then he goes, at least I made prize for my 33rd.
But I mean, that's not the first time. Like, I got we went to a while back, we went to the 5K in Indy, and I got 17th at that tournament. I still got paid though, but I didn't get 17th. So that was a pretty rough run as well. Rough one as well.
What, message you?
No, it was a TCG podcast. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to play in the event. I did get to play an FNM.
Yeah.
So I had a Jordan level FNM.
Nice.
Where Ron wanted to play against an opponent who was like learning his green red devotion deck. Like, he just bought a bunch of this stuff for it. And I was helping him count his mana and figuring out how to activate his Nyxos correctly as he beat me. I flooded out pretty badly, and I'm just like, well, all right. So
it's like when he's like you're like, yeah. So if you tap the Void and say you don't tap the Nyxos and use two from the Nyxos, you can like generate a lot more.
Well, like, oh. Like, he played Nyxos and had like a Stomping Ground up, and then like the first thing he does is cast. Like, so he Nyxos is for 8, and like the first thing he does is cast a Nami Raid. He doesn't tap the Stomping Ground, and I'm like, so you activated Nyxos for red and got 0 mana, and he's like, what? And I'm like, and it's kind of like I feel like I'm just being like, what do we do here? Oh, okay, we have to do this. And he's like, okay, well, I have 9 mana. I'm like, no, you activated this for 7. You got a Stomping Ground. That's 8. He's like, oh, I'm like, I'm losing. So he was a nice guy, and like he was you know, thankful afterwards. And like he didn't do very well at the FNM. I don't know how he did the next day, but he was planning on playing the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes learning a deck can have growing pains, but definitely if you're gonna play a deck with numbers like that,
yeah,
go fishbowl, go fishbowl for a while and double check your numbers.
Yeah,
I played against the Jund deck that night as well, mm-hmm. and lost that in 3 games. I mulled a 4.
Yeah,
mulled a 4 game 3. Kept a hand with 2 lands, Purphoros Assemble. And managed to land the Purphoros. He thought he's away the Assemble. And I drew an Elspeth, and he thought he's away the Elspeth. His draw was terrible, but I couldn't get any more pressure. I almost won the game. It was actually surprising. I did get to play against a Bant ramp deck with unexpected results,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun. And then I played an opponent.
Was it unexpected?
I played an opponent the last round who, nice. It was nice. He did unexpected results into unexpected results twice.
That's,
what? Which was, is that lucky? Or?
Well, like, so you get the cast again. It was just a lot of shuffling. Yeah. It was tedious.
It's like a bad game on Modern, right? Like,
but my last round opponent was a nice guy, but was incorrect in how triggers happened. He thought if he, like, I cast a spell with the Young Pyromancer in play, and I'm like, alright, for, you know, like, Magma Jet trigger, you know, go to put a creature in play. He's like, in response to that, kill your Young Pyromancer. I'm like, okay. And he's like, I'm like, I put the token in play. And he's like, no, you don't get the token. And I'm like, why? And he's like, it doesn't resolve. And of course, like, I'm trying to be nice about this, but I'm just like I ended up almost getting an argument with the guy. I'm like, you're actually just wrong. Like, I don't know what the yeah. And he was nice, and he was trying to say, like, that he knew it worked that way because of how Hauntmaster worked. Because, right. And I tried to explain to him that it gets a flip trigger that's on the stack, so the other Hauntmaster never actually transforms. If it did, it would get to put its triggers on the stack, and it would still resolve. And like afterwards, he asked Carl, and he figured it out, and he was all right about it. But I was like, I'm being really nice, like I'm trying not to tilt here, and I'm like at the same time, like don't argue with me,
right? Like you actually couldn't be more incorrect.
Like I'm like so yeah, I went 3-2 and got a couple packs and opened up like a Shipbreaker Crack and the Horrid Overlord. So
oh yeah,
that was my FNM, but I
not even full.
I never get to FNM up with Carl, so it was kind
of
cool.
Maybe you can go 3-2 and get a couple packs. It was pretty good.
Well, so I've never been to Carl's when it's like just an FNM. What's the nature of the store like? Because that's a big store.
I will say this: there were 32 people there, and it felt dead. And yet, if we had 32 people down the here, we would feel like it was packed. So it's just about, you know, placement here. I mean, that's all.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, it's just size.
Yeah.
Because you just have tables everywhere.
Right. Well, we have a saturated market in Columbus, too, where 32 is at one store is huge.
Right, exactly.
So, like, and Carl's it for his area, right? So.
Yeah. Speaking of which, he is running I think it's like Team Sealed Trios for Theros in a couple weeks, so. Yeah, if you're bored.
I mean, it's definitely not something you get to do a whole lot, so yeah, if you're in the area, definitely check it out.
Is that going
to
be like World Cup event style, where you can go and like help your teammates?
I have no idea how he runs them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a team, so you act as a team to build your deck. You get 12 packs.
You have to wear a shirt that has only 2 armholes in it, so the guy in the middle it's kind of screwed.
Yeah.
You're just a head.
Just like a, literally a three-headed giant. But not but not three-headed giant. Yeah, be separate life totals and everything.
But not at all what I just described.
Wait. Correct. Completely accurate.
The event was good. There was an interesting DQ at the end, which we don't know a whole lot about. I've never seen a DQ happen live.
So, that was definitely an interesting thing to see. It's something that you probably don't want to see happen very, very common, but it is pretty devastating. You definitely see the impact on the devastation of what happens when that goes down, and it's very disheartening, especially when two people that are definitely above you in rankings get disqualified and you still make 33rd.
So in all reality, you took 35th. Don't feel 35th. So bad.
35th. Don't feel so bad. A 35th I can deal with.
That's what he's saying, is I feel better about 35th than 33rd.
That's very, very true.
By the way, I heard through the grapevine that Jordan saw the mythical unicorn.
The Huntmaster lives. be still my soul. Huntmaster lives.
By the way, if you actually know what we're talking about, thanks for listening. It's so much.
Yes, stuck around. I believe it's episode 4 if you go to our archive on tiny.cc/@yourinstep. Episode 4?
It's called the Huntmaster himself.
Yeah. Mike meets this gentleman in a PTQ who has wolf figurines on his playmat and uses miniature wolf animals as his tokens. I figured he was a mythical creature.
Like, I was just lying.
Well, not that he was lying, but like, I'll never see him. You know, like, Mike saw him, got the picture.
That was in Pennsylvania, too. Like, that's...
Yeah.
He's out of his natural habitat.
But, like, I'm sitting playing this gentleman, and I notice these wolf figurines in front of somebody, and in front of the table to my immediate right, and he's got these boxes of miniature animals. There's no way. There's no way there's two. And Mike comes over to watch my match, and I'm playing with this guy. We're talking. It's been a good match. So I look at Mike, and I'm like, is that the Huntmaster? And he's like, no, what? And he's looking at the three guys immediately around him, and then he sees him. And then he sees him. He goes, oh! And his face just, he can't get his to walk away from the table. And I look at my opponent, I'm like, I have to tell you something after the match. So the guy had a good laugh, and I just, the Huntmaster lives, folks. So
he lives and he is well.
Be still your hearts, as has been our theme this week.
For the tournament for me, it was pretty good. I did go X3. So it was an 8-round tournament, so I went 5-3. Now, I haven't played as much Magic as I used to back in last Aaron season. And I haven't played the Big Tears Boros deck for a whole lot. We built it on MTGO, so I have been playing it on there. And then I have played it in, like, FNM and a few, and we had an IQ, and I played it in that. So, Yo-I 5-3 with a deck I haven't necessarily played a whole lot. I still think it's pretty acceptable. Missing out did kind of suck, but it is what it is, as Mike's saying goes. And I'm pretty stoked on it. Mike and I are probably going to work on the sideboard a little bit. I still think the main deck's really solid. I don't see any changes that I'd really like to make there.
Damn right.
But the the sideboard, just based on the metagame, might need to change things. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. I didn't really play against anything interesting. I actually still haven't played against Mono Blue with that deck.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Mono Blue won an umpire. I mean, you were playing 3-0 against it.
But like, so won.
I mean, I've played against it a couple times in the Star City Invitational, but beyond that, I just haven't seen it much either. No. Like, again, like I said, I really think there's something to, you know, this idea that, like, these GP buys and, I guess, the pilots themselves that, you know, are really making... Because if they said that, you know, people thought, like, last week, like, oh, we're having a mono black, and it might have been more Sutcliffe, I'm not sure, was said, like, in Vienna, was just like, whoa, no, like, mono black's here. Like, yeah. It was, like, 20% of day two. But it just didn't, you know, make it to the top.
Yeah.
And the pilots just weren't there for it. They were all playing, you know, limited at 1 in the morning in Toronto. So,
yeah.
So... So it definitely already existed, but a lot of people look at that top 16 and just be like, well, Mono Black's dead. No.
Right.
Same thing with Esper when I didn't copy.
Right. With Vienna, people said, like, oh, man, well, Esper, you know, like, I don't know who was, I think it was you, Morgan, who was saying, like, oh, there just won't be as much control. And I'm like, no, like, it's there. Like, it really is there. You just, like, sometimes it just doesn't hit the top table.
Right.
Or, you know, it's the last round. It could be sitting in the top table round 14, and then round 15 comes around, and you just don't have it in the top 16. And I think if you just go like, well, that means Esper didn't exist anymore, then well, you should have had a V8.
I completely agree. I think like in today's Magic, just like Magic world, technology and news makes everything happen so fast. And
that's the world in general,
right? Like, give it now. Well, so in that regard, we're quick to dismiss decks that aren't actually dead. Just like you said, like, oh, wasn't in the top 16 this week. That deck's terrible. Never played again. And like the next week, if it wins, everybody's like, Esper's back. You know, it's just like, well, what happened to Esper in 8 days? It's like, what? So like, I just think.
Some people got mad and sold their decks, and the people who bought them started playing Esper.
Right, yeah.
It's a circle of life, yes.
So people that kept them just went X2 and 1, so it was fine.
Simba.
I don't understand. But, like, I understand it's from Lion King, bite me. But, like, it makes me sad because sometimes people will go, oh, you're still playing Esper? And like, what? Maybe I'm still playing Esper. Like,
somebody said, the format is what it is until February.
Yeah,
I mean, right. You can innovate. There'll be, you know, the burn deck is coming around a little bit. But I mean, like, you could like settle on Esper until February, until you're Born of the Gods, and just be totally fine.
Yeah,
like, that's just where we're at right now. We got a PTQ season coming up where, you know, I said you're not gonna, I don't think, get a ton of, you know, fresh air, you know, put into this, especially without Modo. Now, next week that comes back, supposedly, on the 11th, supposedly that's when the dailies are going to come back. But without dailies and stuff, I mean, you just don't have the people trying as hard, maybe, to break it. It's about tuning at this point. And what I really think is interesting is that Jerry Thompson is around the standard format to break the tunes. Because he did that so many times, where it's just like, well, little tweak, and now Delver won again. And now he's working at Wizards, and he's probably like just like staring at these, like looking at the shops, like, well, they would just add this card. Why is no one playing this card?
Right.
And he's like, I don't know. He's got like a poster board on his wall. And he's got all these like articles like taped to it and stuff. And he's just like, probably not.
I love him like with like bulletin boards and strings tied around like thumbtacks and the board, like a madman. No, yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely true. Like, I think that's a voice that hasn't quite yet been replaced in the community.
For sure.
Because he was definitely very good at being like, let's just twist the knobs a little bit.
Right, like, we're not building a whole new deck every time. We're making small changes that, you know, are one-up. Because that's what, it goes back to what Dave said, where you're not seeing that even, like, the mono blue decks aren't even, like, doing anything to fight each other now. They're just the same list.
Yeah, it's just brute force.
Yeah, there's no one trying to, and there's no one who's introduced anything to really break it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it may not even be possible. I mean, I could just be like, you know, playing wish fulfillment here, but I do feel like, you know, Jerry Thompson was that guy, especially for the Star City circuit, who, you know, he kept it a little more interesting than maybe it is right now. Maybe it will just take some time before someone steps up.
I think so. I mean, there's got to be people out there, you know, with that.
Before
ideas.
Someone rises?
But.
There's a jail cell.
Yeah. So, fun speculation question. I'm tired of this. Fun speculation question. Jerry T makes platinum this year. Does he take his internship at Wizards?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say that. I don't know the guy that well. You know, I mean, I've only met him a handful of times. So,
I mean, I guess just from
he must have applied for our, you know, for R&D internship while still pursuing platinum. You know,
well, I don't even know, though. He could have just been like, I didn't hit it, apply in Wizards Fast Tracks to the popular people.
I still think, I mean, you're talking about at least a month in advance, he was still going to events, still planning on going to different events. You know what I mean? Like, his plan was to continue to play Magic if that didn't happen. So my assumption is he wouldn't have applied for that if, you know, I don't think it worked like he just got angry one night and was like, screw it, I'm going to work for Wizards instead of doing this, and like, just did. Like, I don't think it happened.
That's fair.
And I mean, we don't even know, like, a lot of times with their R&D folks, they even get approached. By people on the outside. I know they do have obviously posted.
All right, that's fair. I mean, and maybe he was approached, you know, a while back, and it took him a while to make the decision, and maybe platinum would have affected that. But I would have to think that I would assume he probably would still not take that position if he was platinum, because if they approached him, then it would probably still be available once he was done. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'll just ride the train for now, and then, you know, next year maybe we'll talk. You know what I mean? But
how do you pass up three Pro Tours? You know?
Yeah, it's yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, obviously, someone prolific, someone like a Jerry T would probably just want to play the game. But I don't know. And there's something oddly compelling about, you know, helping
make cards.
Yeah, helping tune these cards. Because obviously he's with, he's with the design side. He's with development.
Right.
So, So that's definitely interesting. You know, tuning cards.
We've seen this sort of firsthand locally. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you've talked to Stodd, Sam Stoddard, when he's come back into town, I mean, he's a proud papa. You know what I mean? Like I think he thoroughly enjoys being like, yeah, we're doing some cool things. And it's like, oh, just tell us. And he's like, nope, I can't. But they're awesome! like, obviously he's not allowed to say anything and he wouldn't.
We all act like schoolgirls when he's
telling us. Exactly, tell me more. Sorry, that's
not You're being an asshole, Sam, but I can't get away from you.
No, you can even tell him his articles. Like, man, he's having a blast doing this.
Oh, yeah.
No, Sam's also a guy that really enjoyed talking to that side of the game, you know, within contention and everything else for a number of years.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, still, like, you can tell he's having a blast doing that.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption is there definitely is something, you know, very special about that. So. Yeah.
I think so, too. If I had the mind for it, it would definitely be something that I would do, but I'm clearly not good at Magic, so no big deal.
So how about a dragon with 7 wings?
How about a Purpose that you don't have to play before you put the
Super Ace?
You guys are assholes.
How about, okay, the name of the mechanic is Takes These Backsies. And when you play the card, you can declare Takes These Backsies, and you get to make up for one mistake you made in the game.
How about we make an artifact? We call it Time Machine.
Oh, and we watch the future, we save the world from the Morlocks.
It costs 0. You can begin the game with it if it's in your deck.
Return to start of game. Well, yeah, you're not cut out for this, Morgan.
No, not at all.
So, anyway, so. So what I think would be interesting, since nobody ever uses the flipping comments section on our website, post on the page on our website at yourstuff.com what you're playing this week.
If you want to. If anyone even...
You can tell us your deck if you want to. Or you can leave your list.
Just like, let us know what you're playing.
If your friends don't play it, if they don't play with it, no friends of mine.
Most likely, since all our friends play Magic.
Oh, do you not understand?
Who was it that we know that didn't know what song that was when we started doing that? Was it Suck It or Mike?
You didn't just know when we were making the references.
No, I understood. I really just wanted to move on with the thing.
Okay, well, let's get back on track. I feel like we went on like a huge side quest.
Yeah, it was a time machine. And back to...
Can it be in a hot tub?
No.
You ever seen that movie?
Okay, what are we doing here? All right. So the last thing we kind of wanted to touch on GP-wise was... There was GP Toronto. It was a limited tournament, but it was kind
limited
of...
space?
No, that's the funny thing. Apparently, it wasn't limited space. It was actually a big, huge convention hall, but only X amount of tables. So they actually sat in this room with a huge amount of space and were elbow to elbow with each other.
Yeah, which is terrible.
It's like being in a zoo. Like, I just want to be free.
Yeah.
Let us out.
Not to mention that day one ended at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
which is rough, mm-hmm. especially when you have to be back at 9 a.m., pretty sure. Day 2 is always 9 a.m., so that must have not been very pleasant, especially when you wanted to go out and maybe have a drink, get some food, but you're like, oh, well, I have to be back here at 9 a.m., so I better
Well, at least Tim Hortons is probably open.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very weird because we have GP Albuquerque, which was heralded as being very well run, and then we have, straight into GP Toronto, which... Fell to pieces, apparently.
What does it tell you about Canada? I mean, that's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry to all the Canadians.
Can you blame Canada?
Blame Canada.
But I felt that there was a lot of Twitter talk about people wanting more of a universality between tournament organizers.
Well, this is going to happen starting this week. So GP Dallas this week is the first of these new changes with GPs in general. The main thing here, and I'm saying this now specifically, because if you, that may not matter for this GP, but in the future, there will be no more Saturday registration.
Correct.
Everything is pre-register or register on site on a Friday. So, this issue with getting people in, because the problem is, as a TO, let's be honest, you want money.
Yeah.
You want money from your players. And if you're trying to start an event, but you still have this line, like, hey, the event starts at 10. But we got this line of, 400 players that still want to pay me money to play. Guess what? They're getting in. But the problem is, too, is that it was a limited GP, so we didn't prepare enough, product to do this. So then you have to prepare more pools, and then you have to do this. So definitely, I think TOs in general have to start adjusting for the amount of players being, held.
Hmm.
But at the same time, you'll know Friday night when you close up shop exactly how many people are registered for your tournament.
Yeah.
So I would say, if you were in GP Toronto, it was Lauren Nolan's post I was reading where he was very upset about that. It sucks. I apologize for all of you who got to do that. I stayed, home and ate delicious food. Screw that.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see where GPs go. Like,
well, I think now. So what I'm saying is, right now we can make excuses for this TO.
Yeah.
Right. Like, poorly run, and I do believe from what I saw on Twitter, that guy is stepping down. Like, he will not be running the next GP in that region. But what I will say is, I think, you know, they're really good about listening, especially on Twitter. You know what I mean? They're really good about listening to this. And now you'll have these set guidelines. Like, hey, this tournament organizer knew they had exactly 1,500 people registered on Friday night, and yet there weren't enough tables, this, this, and this. I think it would be much easier to come down on that TO and be like, what was the excuse here? You knew all this beforehand. Why did this get done? As opposed to now where it's like, yeah, well, they weren't prepared for this amount of players. Because that's the thing of the past.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll know Friday night. You know, obviously you could still end up having a ton of people show up on a Friday or pre-register or whatever, but I think in bigger hotspots, like Toronto's definitely, you know, within driving distance of New York, it's a hotspot.
Yeah.
Prepare for more than what you would need. You know what I mean? You know, and I think that's something that a lot of TOs have to start doing in these, you know, these regions here that, you know, maybe you can't, you know,
right.
Yeah, you have to start preparing more, and hopefully with these changes, it'll be easier to come down on them and be like, well, you're not running the GP next time,
right.
You know what I mean? And hopefully just, you know, set it up so that it's more competitive, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, you don't feel like, because a lot of these TOs essentially feel like, well, yeah, I get it. Like, it's ours. We always get the GPs in this region. And then they can do whatever they want, but hopefully now it will not be like this.
Right. It just, yeah, just kind of open up the market a little bit.
Yeah.
And let the best person, you know, run the tournaments, which is what we want as players.
Right.
So hopefully it gets better. It's pretty unfortunate that such a premier like city like Toronto, I feel is well known, and people wanted to go to it. So it's pretty unfortunate that it was not, you know, run very well. But congrats to Ari Lax for taking out the tournament
and taking yet another creepy GP or like winning picture. Dude, smile differently.
Like, oh, and
your picture for that and for champs.
Yeah,
scary.
Well, and Hugh Jensen does top 8 of that one, top 4 did.
He did.
So congrats to him too. He seems to be doing pretty well for, you know.
I mean, you had being Sam in the Black Pro Tours, and Owen
bringing
the too, so.
Bringing the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I do think, you know, as far as the TOs go, like the best TOs are the ones that you don't ever care to learn their name. And I know it sounds terrible, but it's like afterwards, you're like, this was a fine event. This is, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, if after the event you're like, who ran this? Because exactly. I am. Sorry, Jordan's looking up inappropriate pictures of our relax. So, but yeah, hopefully this will change in the future.
I hope so. And like I said, like you said, there's going to be the more kind of rule sets for GPs. So I'm sure that'll only work towards improving and hopefully, you know, maybe making Magic players a little bit less lazy.
So I'm curious, as someone who's been playing this game for a little over a year, I don't know the breadth of history that's going to tournament sanctioned play. What, like, it seems like there's a lot of revolution going on right now in competitive play. What was going on for the past 20 years? Was it just not this many people?
No, it wasn't this many people. I mean, there was...
I'm part of this boom generation that they had to think about?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, your average GP size was under 1,000. You know, breaking 1,000 was a big deal, you know, within the last, you know, 5 to 7 years. I mean, it's been a huge boom. And definitely, you know, I mean, you had PTQs that were, you know, 6 rounds for a long period of time. It does sound wonderful, but there's just a lot more players, and the scale is outdated, and the problem with when you have an outdated like the pay scale took a long time for GPs to update, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's going to take a long time for them to update because hint, the TO makes a lot more money if they're not paying out any extra.
Right.
They're like, oh man, we got 1,500 players under the same, like, they're you're coming to play under the same prize model as you were with half the amount of players. Okay. Right. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, that's just what it is. There just, you know, weren't that many people. And I think that the more mainstream, quote-unquote, Magic becomes, it's going to be interesting. And I think we're just going through a kind of growing pains with the game right now. And
getting so big. And soon we'll be driving. Oh, wait, we turned 21 this year.
Yeah, we're...
Oh, yeah. Boy. I was excited.
Now I understand GP Toronto.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what the game goes and if it stays as strong as it is, which still always boils down to, I think, how, you know, compelling the game you know, continues to be.
Well, as long as Morgan's not designing the game, I think we're
safe. That's true. Don't let me near it. I'll play it poorly, but don't let me design it. So we'll kind of move on away from GP talk and all that jazz and kind of move into our question of the week and then into our wrap-up. So this is kind of an interesting thing that came up recently, and it's definitely something that I think we've talked about outside of the podcast, so something I wanted to bring into it. Very recently, Alex Bertoncini came off of suspension and is now, you know, playing Magic, top 8 at a Legacy Open during the last Star City Games tournament. And it kind of got us thinking about, you know, what do we actually think about, you know, these players that have been, you know, suspended from the game, coming back and playing again, you know? I think another popular one were some of the French players that exposed the God Book, and some of them have
Wafatabba.
So Wafatabba's recently come back to the game. He top 8 of the Pro Tour, right?
Yes, he did.
Yes, correct. So he top 8 of the Pro Tour. Bertoncini's back. And I know Jordan was kind of, you know, making mention to this, even to, like, you know, when football players get suspended, you know, and how that can be, yeah, what that's like when they start coming back to the game. So, Jordan, you kind of want to take off with that and kind of compare the two maybe a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because when I learned who this Alex fella was, I was reading all about
Alex fella.
Yeah, well, no, because, like, who knows? Like, this guy's been out longer than I've played the game, right? So, like,
yeah.
Who is this guy? He comes back and he top twos the SCG Open, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. One of our friends made a point where it was, well, he's paid his sentence, he's repented, and he's done his time. And, you know, another one of our buddies, Rich, goes, well, he didn't necessarily do this because he was a good person. It's like people that, like, shoot someone and go to jail don't do it because they want to.
Yeah,
they got caught.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't go to jail if they felt bad, you know? and I kind of resonated with that. That made me think, well, maybe this guy's not just necessarily fine because he went through his trial and all that. But it's interesting because in pro sports, it was Michael Vick. So if you're not a sports ball fan, Michael Vick fought dogs and
you know, he had dogs. Now he's on a picture of Michael Vick.
Michael Vick hosted dog fights and, like, animal abuse, and he shot dogs that lost in these dog fights. And he, you know, he went to jail for the longest time, and he worked his way back into the NFL. And to me, I've always been proud of Michael Vick for fighting back and not fighting back as if he was the one that was
in jail.
Right. I was proud of him. I was proud of him for overcoming the adversity, changing his ways, and coming back into the league. And I'm prevented with this conflict between Alex, who I'm like, yeah, that guy's probably still a scumbag, and Michael Vick, who I was sort of happy that he came back and became, for the season he came back.
But he's in the same thing. He didn't, like, turn himself in, and had he not been caught, I mean, would he have changed?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That's where my difference is. And I'm wondering, like, if the getting caught is the part that disqualifies someone from changing, or the actions they do after they're caught, and, like, seeing, like, because you can do a lot of things wrong your whole life and then get caught and go, oh yeah, that's actually terrible.
Right.
You know, you got this Alex Bertoncini fellow who, during his SCG top 8 profile, was like, yep, on that one, did you miss me? And, like, one of the questions was, most misunderstood card in Legacy? And he said Explore, which is, like, one of the cards he famously cheated with.
Yeah.
So it's like, you really don't, you don't care. This is a cash cow.
I mean, he's also, yeah, he's, I mean, maybe he's embracing his villain role. I think it's really going to come down to, like, how he plays and how he's perceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want to point, you know, there was a comment made of this weekend in Vienna that Trey Van Cleave was playing in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know who Trey Van Cleave is, if you search Google for Nosy Goblin, Trey Van Cleave comes up as a picture on that card for very famously looking at other people's cards.
Oh, while drafting.
While drafting. Yeah. And, like, I guess the judges made a joke about, like, not being a Nosy Goblin, and there's Trey Van Cleave, like, yep, I'm here. But all over Twitter, he had a lot of people, like, backing him, like, he's a changed player, and he's done this and that. And the only way you can get that backing is by, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone and,
right,
know, and doing what you're supposed to do for a long amount of time. And I don't know, I strongly feel that, you know, Bertoncini is pretty much stopping himself from being able to do that by coming out so brazenly, just being like, what up? Middle fingers in the air! Like,
right. Well, that's kind of the thing with the Michael Vick instance. He's reform, he's doing a lot of things to show, like, that he cares about the community he's harmed. He's heavily involved in, like, the NFL's outreach programs. He's even said, let me own a dog. He knows it's illegal and he'll never will. He's
right.
He's giving to these animal foundations. He shows that he's sorry. But this Bertoncini guy is just like, yeah, I got caught. Catch me again, suckers.
Right.
Yeah, like, you can still tell he's scared. because when he brainstormed on camera, he used to brainstorm four cards, and that was kind of one of his gigs, right? He brainstormed very intentionally, pick one card up, look at it, put it on the table, slide across the table, show one, put it in his hand. You do that for all three cards. He knows people are watching him.
But see, my thing is, I don't think he's doing that off camera. You know what I mean? On camera, he's definitely doing that. My thought here is, like, you know, I go back to you, Jordan. I said, like, you didn't know who this guy was.
Right.
And he was playing in the 50K. That was his first paper event. You didn't know who he was. Now, I sat next to him at the last round, and I was like, it's like, first event back? And he was just like, yeah. Like, and he seemed nice, and he was pleasant to his opponent, but my assumption is he's going to have to be sort of, you know, he's going to have to watch very carefully, because, I mean, if I'm playing against that guy, there's a high chance that this first thing, if I see anything suspicious, I'm immediately calling a judge over to watch the match. And I won't feel a darn bit guilty about it, because that's the reputation he's earned.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Just like Michael Vick was walking down my street, I'd be like, hey, you put the dog in the house. You know what I mean? You know, like, sure. It's probably a little bit, you know, too far, but
right.
I mean, it's...
And then he's going to grab another dog and have a fight right there in the driveway. Yeah,
but, no, he's going to fight his dog.
And dog pretty muscular. You leave us alone, Mike Vick!
Well, the other thing I've had to look at is Alex Bertucci, you don't have a PR, you know, person that'll filter his
words. Oh, see, that's also very true.
So,
you know, that's something every professional person, you know, every professional athlete does have. I mean, you know, for all we know, Ray Lewis killed a guy. You know, he just paid enough.
Oh, he killed a guy.
He paid enough hush money to the family that nothing else ever came of it.
Right.
I mean, that's a real thing that, you know, he did pay off a family who accused him, like, when he had charges. Like, this happened, you know what I mean? But, and it goes away pretty quickly around the rest of the image. And you're right. You know, he doesn't have that. And it's probably a good thing he doesn't have that. You know what I mean? But
probably.
What this comes from here is that we had, you know, Matt Sperling sort of calling him out. And not calling him out, but, like, saying it was kind of funny, you know, on Twitter. And a lot of people were, like, really angry about that. And I got to say two things here about Matt Sperling. First of all, kudos to Matt Sperling for being the greatest troll in the history of Magic. I mean, that guy can just, like, you know, he just can say the most ridiculous thing, and people respond like he's serious. They haven't picked up on the shtick yet. Like, and the other thing is, he said in his article this last week that he wanted to get some feedback about whether or not he should go into commentating on... Please don't. Please don't. I'll be very honest, dude. You weren't good. GP Oakland, no good. Anyways, but he sort of like started this back and forth, and he made the point that, you know, don't you want your wolves to be in wolves' clothing, not sheep's clothing?
Sure.
You know, right? So don't you want your to know that the cheaters, don't you want them to be out in the open and not, you know, pretending to be reformed? Which is an interesting point. Like, do we want Bertoncini to act all, you know, humble and everything else, but still be the same cheater, just like he's acting the way he should? Okay, like, is Michael Vick really a different man?
Right.
I mean, and very well could be. I mean, I don't know the guy, but Bertoncini definitely doesn't seem like he is. And Sperling's point here being that maybe it's better for him to act this way because you could be on essentially full alert when you play against him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, the guy's a skilled Magic player. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, he cashed the 50K in his first tournament back. He top eight a Legacy Open. Oh, and he was in the top 64 of GB Toronto as well. So, yeah. Like, he's definitely a fine player. Okay,
and you can cheat in Magic and be bad. Like, you can, I mean, you can cheat and be bad.
Yeah,
but if you're good and cheat, it aids you much more than if you're bad and cheat.
That's fair.
So that's fair.
So I would definitely say, you know, I mean, he did serve his punishment. Okay,
yes.
But he also had he had 6 months tacked onto his punishment for, you know, for essentially just like making fun of people on SCG's like commentary show. Like, he opened up his own stream and was just like laughing at people, and then they're like, well, you obviously don't know what it means to play the game. We'll just keep you away for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, he repented over that, but then that's how he comes back. I mean, if I read tomorrow that he got suspended again because, you know, he submitted the deck that he didn't, you know, the card he didn't have at, you know, GP Toronto, every single person's gonna go, oh, well, I saw that coming, right? Honestly, this could happen to him, and it could be a complete accident, and no one's going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think from his perspective, and he, again, he doesn't care. He doesn't care who we are or anything else. But from his perspective, that'd be the point where you really want to be careful of walking the line, because, you know, now, before, like, you, us three sitting here, you can make a mistake, and we've all done it, like, oh, I saw this card, call a judge. Oh, I did this, call a judge, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, like, if he does this and he doesn't immediately call the judge, it looks like cheating.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah, you're supposed to treat these instances as different, but that's not how the DCI looks at it, because it's a track record then.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has lost that, okay, well, you know, it was a mistake. You know, I don't think there's any judge who could look at him and say, oh, well, we definitely think you weren't trying to cheat somebody.
Right.
And that's his own fault. So, I mean, we'll see in the future if he, I mean, he may continue to be brazen, but at the same time put up good results and be play the game clean. If so, yeah, let him be a jerk. He can be however he wants. But, you know, if he gets caught cheating again, then him coming out like a jerk like that is going to be pretty hilarious.
Pretty
natural. You know what I mean? Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, you're probably looking at, you know, 2-year ban or something like that. You yeah. probably won't hear from him again.
Before a lifer.
But yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's especially kind of damning when he initially gets banned and then has, you know, kind of a 6-month extension for doing something,
right.
you know, still offensive and still incredibly stupid, and then comes back in and is so brazen. It's just like, it's a matter of time. It almost feels like you're just tempting fate and you're just pushing people's buttons. And I appreciate that you know, want to be the bad guy, and there have been plenty of bad guys in Magic that people have, you know, have pointed to that have done well and but are still, you know, looked upon in as being, you know, bad guys, quote unquote. But I don't know. It seems very foolhardy. I don't think he maybe could have been a little cute and cheeky with his player profile, but to just be completely unabashed with it is a little distasteful. You know, you cheated people out of money and playing a card game designed for people 13 and up. And for you to just not give a shit about the things that you did seems a bit rude.
Well, I mean, the thing I think of is, does Magic need a villain? Like, and we talk about Magic coverage and how it can be improved all the time. If there is a guy you actively want to lose that does well, I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, I watch the Pittsburgh Steelers to watch their demise. Like, that incites the game for me. When the Pittsburgh Steelers lose or win, or when they win rather, I'm sad. But I enjoy the shit.
It's funny you mention that because, like, Tomlin's about to give a 6-figure fine for cheating.
For cheating. Yeah. And they're going to lose a draft pick, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. You shouldn't cheat.
You're right. So, I mean, like, that to me, that's exciting. Like, having this villain, though. Like in StarCraft, we had a villain, and he had a nemesis, and
yeah,
it was just
the
good.
Nemesis, you know, was a fine player who, you know, it's now that's all about crafting a story. That's something that Magic doesn't do well.
Right.
I mean, Star City does a better job of crafting a story about Team SCG than Wizards ever could do. But I don't think you want your villain to be a known notorious cheater. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. You want him to just be like a Johnny Magner, like just
right,
be a
right.
bad dude.
Like, you right. want it to be a nemesis. Like, you want it to be like, you know, like Sam Black versus blank and blank, and Sam Black is X and X against this person, and they blah blah. You know what I mean? You want that, but you don't want like Sam Black versus notorious cheater Alex Bertoncini,
right.
and like, and he comes out like the full like Hannibal Lecter mask and everything, and just real loud into the stage, and like.
Well, to be fair, in Magic's defense, it's much harder to build a story in a game where so many people are playing so many different people. This is the way
no, that's fair.
Like, in
they
can
use their teams better, though. I mean,
I agree completely.
There are other outlets who are focusing on the team aspect of the Pro Tour more than Wizards does, and that's pathetic.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what's the girl who used to work for Star City? I can't remember her name. I know I follow her on Twitter. She's at Moldrifting, and I can't remember her name
okay.
off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But she's one who, like, her own blog runs this, and she was running, you know, I'm like, why is this individual, like, having a better track record of all the teams present at the Pro Tour
yeah.
and giving me better coverage of how
Wait,
the teams
how
are doing?
How does Nolan run a better fantasy Pro Tour draft than anybody else, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, there's, like, I think that, and imagine, just like I said, like, I mean, like, Sam Black could play a nobody in the first round, and nobody wants to see that nobody on camera. You know, and let's say Sam Black goes X1, I want to see the X1s play on camera. So that's kind of rough, but like you said, they could have a member of team. Like, I would love to see Star City Season Channel Fireballs if he's on camera mm-hmm. and watch, you know, Sam Black battle against, like, a LSV. And they have to get lucky for that to happen, but and it's a lot easier in StarCraft where you can get pool play
right.
and you can set that up. But, I think a villain, like you said, that's not bad for the game.
Honestly, I do think that's something that, you know, at least the World Cup, the World Magic Cup does that well, because mm-hmm. you get your nationalism built into it, so you can, you know, argue for, you know, you can root for your
yeah.
home country / team. You know, you can be a good American Magic player.
No,
not a Magic playing American.
Yeah, no, being a Magic playing American is probably incorrect. But no, I mean, I completely agree. The story behind that, like, I watch every minute of the World Cup. And for good reason. When the Pro Tour is on or when the SCG's on, I kind of just flip it on.
Right.
And it's just background noise. But, like, you imagine, I'm like, oh, man, F New Zealand. I hate those Kiwis. I'm like, they're five people. Like, And I hate this country sometimes, and I'm like, go America, you know? So like, that's a good point. Match coverage is very interesting. Alex Regine raises a lot of interesting cases. Should people just be banned for his time?
No, I don't think that's possible. But
for a situation like continual cheating?
I mean, he could, and I'm honestly surprised that Star City allowed him into their events, because they definitely could. But mm-hmm. I do feel like, you know, I wonder if they could.
Because if they're going to call themselves a DCI sanctioned event and someone's legal by the DCI, I wonder if they're actually allowed to say.
Oh, they could say, so here's the thing. They probably couldn't stop them from playing in their events. They could just ban them from the premises. And that's something they have done to multiple people.
Oh,
so they can do that. You know, they can say, like, yo, like, we think this person stole from our store, which, you know, Winter Wilds Bertoncini, you know, kind of did. So they can say on those grounds we can't be around it. So now they're not rejecting him from the event. He just can't happen to be in the place where the event is.
That's fair. That's a fair get around.
So I don't know. I feel I had a point with this, and I just hung up losing.
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad.
I feel like I was going to say, so like you have players who, like, the first time they go to an event with a judge, you know, your first judge call as a Magic player, this is nerve wracking. Like mm-hmm. if you like you messed up and someone calls a judge on you, you're like, oh, God, what did I do? And then if you essentially have new players being told that, hey, if you cheat, you can get banned for life the first time. I think that'd be the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even if, like, they don't even have the ability to, you know, because cheating, you do have to have the, like, you can cheat, but you do also have to have, like, the awareness of it. Like, you meant to cheat, and that's how it is counted as cheating.
You intentionally deceived
people. Right. But, like, still, you're going to... I mean, it's scary enough to be a new player with the judges around without the whole thing, like, if you cheat, you're gone. Yeah, right. You disappear. You never come back.
You know all that money you spent on your deck? Might as well throw it away.
In that case, you can sell your deck.
Yeah, I decided that if I was ever banned, like, I'm burning my cards. Like, actual burn.
The ones that are actually worth money. Just like, you know what? I don't want cash from this game I can't play anymore. Let's just burn it.
Yeah.
I would buy 5 Jason Mimes gold.
Some men just want to watch the world burn. So,
and the ones that don't burn.
The world.
They come out of a jail and sometimes they rise.
Alright. Sorry. If you've never seen Batman, you're just not having a good day.
Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting, you know, discussion topic. Especially when you look at players like Guillaume Mafatapa that is a very prominent player and you know,
you go back to, like, Mike Long, you know what I mean? Like,
Mike Long is definitely, you know, like, a huge one. You know, he has a card, you know, he has an invitational card, and he's one of those bad guys of Magic that a lot of people, that's how they remember him. So, I think that there are some people that are banned and come back and are redeemable. I think Wafatapa is definitely someone that's like that. You know, exposing the God Book for a set is pretty heinous, you know. That is huge.
What is that?
The God Book is, so once a set has been completed, they produce a God Book. What that is the entire set. It laid out.
With all spoilers?
Yeah, so it's all the spoilers. So this would ruin things like, you know, special articles that people have written and, like, the slow trickle that amps up a set.
Right.
And it was for New Phyrexia, was what they exposed.
Fairly recently, then.
He just came back from suspension.
Yeah, exactly.
Your last, what?
I mean, he was
last
in the
last year.
He's in the Pro Tour. So, I mean, he came back. Didn't he win like a PTQ or something like that? Or he won something to qualify for.
Yeah, the I don't remember what it was.
So he won something to qualify for Pro Tour in top eight. And he's definitely a very skilled player, and someone that, you know, did cheat necessarily, but just kind of got...
I mean, that's cheating. Like, hey, all the people who I would test with, here's all the cards that are going to be coming out. You know, buy cards accordingly, plan accordingly, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it got exposed. Like, it obviously was...
No, for
became
sure.
free information. I mean, I'm not... You know, it still was something that was not very good. It impacted a lot more people than just players. You know, it impacts sites that depend on traffic, that you know, do a lot of things like that. But, you know, he comes back to the game, and I still think a lot of people, you know, do respect Guillaume Mafatapa for his skill level, and I don't know how much this has actually tarnished his reputation, because what he did is not, a lot of people don't necessarily see it as, like, outward cheating, because it was an action that was outside of the game, kind of. Okay. You know, it wasn't done during a, you know, playing a game. It wasn't outright fleecing. A
victimless crime of sorts?
pseudo. I mean, there's definitely victims.
Like wizards.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely victims for what he did, but it wasn't like a fellow player necessarily. It was more like biting the hand that feeds you, kind of.
Yeah, like he didn't disrespect the actual competition that is Magic the Gathering. He respected the broader entity that is.
Right. He had access to basically classified information that he shouldn't have been able to see, and he found out about it. And,
what's that called when you can't, like, when you play test the game, like you beta test the game, you can't, non-disclosure?
NDA.
NDA.
So but I mean, like, he wasn't even privy to that. Like, I think there was a French magazine that, because magazines need access to the images. For the cards, when they compile their articles and things like that, so I think the God Book was given to them, and then he got that through
work and
through that. I don't know how necessarily, but you could research the story. You have Google, come on.
Right.
But it's definitely interesting in it. But also changed a lot of ways that Wizards provides their card images for spoilers as well. So I think that. Maybe tangentially, it might have been even a semi-good thing.
I don't want to argue that.
I mean, okay.
He's
so,
not good for the community.
In the long run, it was really a positive thing.
I'm not saying it was positive.
Some of the dogs Michael Vick shot were really bad dogs.
They bit children, so...
I'm not saying it's positive. I'm saying it definitely... Bad things happen, and it makes people reevaluate how they do things. And that's good. That is a good thing. That you are, get challenged by something bad that happened. I'm not saying the bad
Morgan,
thing is good.
It's all friggin' sunshine and rainbows. We got it.
Morgan's defending the archenemy.
But you know what? But it's different.
Morgan cheats. When you play against Morgan, call a judge.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for getting that. No,
yeah,
I do not.
Spy triggers? Yeah, it's more like right. Spy 3 instead of Spy 2.
You guys are jerks. I'm just saying that. Through, like, public opinion is different for when people look at Yom Kippur but then they look at Brandon Cheney.
We agree with you.
Okay.
We agree.
No, wait, one person said a word.
To be fair, Jordan doesn't really know who this guy is, but I agree with you.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree just so you get off it. I don't really
So, I mean, that's definitely interesting. I think that we'll see what happens. I think that Brandon Cheney is on kind of a borrowed time with the way he's acting. Maybe he continues to act like that, I don't think anyone's going to really... respect him, and they're all just going to suspect that he's always going to be.
I mean, I said, like, if I played against a guy, I'd just be like, Judge, I need you to watch this match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he wants to continue that reputation, because I don't know how that would be beneficial for anyone in any sport.
I mean,
or
to be fair, at this point, he maybe is enough of an outcast that he just doesn't care. But
I guess. But I mean, like.
To be fair, he's winning.
Sure. But.
From his perspective, he's a good player. That's
yeah, but I mean, how? Who knows? Who knows what he's doing during those games? And like, well, and just for the fact that we can still say that and people will believe us, then that I mean,
no, that signals are still an issue.
Yeah,
100%.
So I mean, it's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing that the system exists.
Well, I mean, I want to get off this too, but that brings up an interesting thing. Society is often correct in their hive mind. Alex Vercini could be a reformed citizen. And the people, the populace, generally are just like, no, we'll take you to the cross.
I mean, that's...
Stake however you prefer.
That's how reputations work.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is there a way... So I did it with Michael Vick. I got over it for Michael Vick, but it...
Yeah. You don't make your car payments. They're less likely to give you another car.
Right. No, sure. I mean, like, but in a situation like this, like Alex Vercini, is it possible he redeemed himself with the community, even if he became the stellar citizen, because we would all just think maybe it's an act.
But like I said, Trey Van Cleef was able to do this. I mean, this guy has been able to reassert his image and has people going to bat for him as a reformed player. And
sure. So
Bertoncini needs to, if he wants that, and my assumption is he doesn't want that.
Right.
No.
You know, he's going to revel in his role, and that's fine. It'll probably burn him again, so...
Right, I mean, like, the way you get ahead in Magic is by having people that will be your friend and will help you. I mean, I don't think there could be anyone that is just supremely successful at Magic and just does it alone. I think that there's such an element of community in this game that you truly do need people that will challenge you to be better. And if Bertoncini just chooses to be an asshole and burns all his bridges, then I don't know if he'll continue to be successful in the game. But, I mean, there's clearly people out there that still like him, regardless of what they say. I mean, girls always like the bad boys, right? Until they grow up. So maybe people will just grow up and get tired of his shit.
Where are these all grown-up girls you speak of?
Where are they?
They're not at Comic Town on Friday.
No, clearly not. Clearly not. So we'll go ahead and we'll end on that note. We'll definitely want to encourage you guys to go to our website, use our comment section. Let us know what you guys like, dislike, what you guys are playing, what you guys think about Mono Blue and all the devotion decks.
Think about Alex Porcini.
Yeah, tell us what you think about how DCI bans are and what your opinions are about Bertoncini. If you're like Jordan, haven't ever heard of him, or if you're more like me and Mike, who kind of saw the whole thing happen, and what kind of think about that, or even if you are someone that wants to talk about the Mike Longs and the Yom Wafatafas, the older the
if
older
Magic players. Off, I think I'll walk a fuck with Flay.
Wow. All right. Well, no, not him. He doesn't play Magic.
No, probably
and
not.
And if you're going to be in Columbus this weekend, there is
a
Star City Classic at the Columbus Convention Center.
Yeah,
I'm planning on attending. I know Jordan is as well, and Morgan is a maybe. He's a solid maybe.
Oh, it's definitely a solid maybe.
So,
say hi to us, please.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there. We'll have our Comic Town shirts on, so we'll be easily identifiable. Thank you so much for listening. Again, the website is at yourinstep.com. Pretty easy. All of our Twitter information is on there as well. And even access to our archives. And we usually put up the episode on YouTube the day after we record. It shows up on MTGcast a few days later. So check us out on there as well. And we will catch you guys next week. Have a good one.